Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, May 5th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is Imran, the Don Khan. Imran, how you doing?
I'm doing, I guess, okay. I literally just woke up and I was like, oh shit, gotta do the show. And that's been my entire morning so far.
That's the best. It's the best and the worst thing, because I found that a lot of time during this quarantine, like, I'll wake up and I'm like, all right, time for work. But like, it's the worst when you get out of bed and you're like, all right, immediately going live. And like, It takes your brain a minute to kind of catch up to the fact that like, you're awake and you got to like, actually like wake up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was able to squeeze in a shower, so I'm not too bad. But like, last night I finished Law & Order, which is a task. And then I did the dumb thing of I went to the Law & Order subreddit. I was like, I wonder what people have to say about Law & Order in 2020. Wait, so that was what I was doing until
you guys are still showering?
Do what now?
You guys are still showering?
Are you not showering?
I mean, I'm showering on show days and like other days. But
I'm showering.
Yeah, man, me too.
I will say, Kevin, out of the days I'm showering,
I'm saving a lot of money on deodorant these days. Because yeah. Like, why? Why bother?
Right. What's the point?
Yeah.
You do it for you, right? I put on deodorant for myself nowadays just to make myself feel good.
You guys both live with other people, so I can understand the reasoning. But me, it's like, Whatever.
Yeah, but the other person's my wife, so it's like, you know?
But you also have to make a good impression on the dog.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Imran, talk about Law & Order, because I've been seeing your tweets, and I've been curious, like, why in the world are you watching Law & Order in 2020?
I don't know. So, like, I think I said this before, but YouTube TV is now on PS4, which is just, my PS4 is my de facto media box. So, I added Law & Order as a show to YouTube TV, which means every instance of Law & Order that's being broadcast on a channel YouTube TV tracks is just recorded and then put so I can just watch it and just have all of Law & Order available to me. So I decided, okay, there's 400 something episodes, I'll watch them.
So you're just watching it because it's there?
Yes. Because it's there and I don't have to think about it. I can pause in the middle of an episode and lose nothing.
So like, is it also in kind of a random order?
I think they record in a random order, but they have enough metadata that they show up in the actual like season order.
But like, it's a random season, right? So
I think so. Because like when I finished it yesterday, it went from like season 20, episode 22 to like season 4, episode 5 or something
like that.
That's
crazy. Can you imagine being the syndicator, like whoever's job it is to sit there and make the schedule and be like, I don't know, I guess after we're done with this, let's go to season 4.
Yeah.
What?
It's like, I don't know. I'm feeling kind of like a Lenny Briscoe episode right now. Might as well switch to that.
As an update to our previous episode together, I've been watching more Avatar The Last Airbender, as everybody has been encouraging me to. I am now probably like 3/4 of the way through season 2. And man, this show is a blast. Like, I'm really enjoying it. It did take until I hit season 2 for me to really get into the groove of it. Like, season 1 was like, all right, like it was good, but I wasn't really invested in the way that I felt like I should have been, considering how people talk about Avatar. Season 2, I felt like things really ramped up in a way where I was like, all right, I get it now. Like, I'm in this world. I like these characters. I'm meeting new characters. I just met Toph. And Toph is cool. Yeah.
It's like really tough.
Oh yeah, okay. That because she is tough.
You know, so fun story about Earthbender. Toph is that originally when she was designed, she was supposed to be like a big burly like Earthbender guy, like as a big wrestler guy. And then they changed the design.
I think she was one of the wrestlers that competes in the tournament that she like wins.
Yeah, I think that was the original design, and they changed it, but they wanted to keep the same personality because they liked it. So that's basically how she was written.
Yeah, that's perfect.
The idea is she's the opposite of what you expect, like a champion Earthbender to be.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's coming out good,
and it's coming out to Netflix for anybody else who might have seen it. Anybody that's similar to me who hasn't seen it, I'd recommend checking it out. I'm at the point where I can recommend Avatar: The Last Airbender, so the tables have turned. It's great. It's awesome.
You already watched The Great Divide, then that episode.
Which one, without spoiling it, which one is that?
The one where Aang takes people through a valley. It has nothing to do with the rest of the series.
It's like the one
filler episode, and like even the creators advise people skip it. So
see, I had a friend that was telling me that like that was the lowest rated episode in Avatar, like in the Avatar show. And I really like that episode. Like, I like that episode more so than like a lot of other episodes.
I thought it was fun too.
Yeah, I thought it was like a fun, like little, like it was almost like a parable of like, oh yeah, look at these two, these two tribes that have beef. You know, I thought it was fun.
There's one like where they, it's kind of like a day in Ba Sing Se where it's like,
I just finished that episode.
Oh, so fucking excellent! Good.
What a great episode. So good. You know what else is good? Video game news. Today's stories include Xbox's 2020 vision, answers on Doom Eternal soundtrack, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, or bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad free with the exclusive daily post show. Now it's time for some housekeeping. The Core stream is happening. Of course, Core is the game where you whip up your own multiplayer video games, publish them, and play them with the world. Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, join Greg and Andy and the developers of Core as they make games and test them out with you. That's right. You can go download Core, the Core Alpha, right now on CoreGames.com, and you can play whatever they create live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Follow at Core Games on Twitter for updates.
They should call the Core Alpha Softcore.
Oh my god. And then like when the actual game releases, you call it hardcore.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is why we should work in video game PR, Imran.
Maybe I know, they're missing our important voices.
Yeah, we could be like Pop Agenda, but like not Pop Agenda. We could be Rap Agenda.
Oh shit media. You know? Could we be Oh shit media?
I'm down being Oh shit media. Yeah, what's that? Is that like Fuck Jerry? What's that?
What?
Like,
I don't know. Like, like people,
what's the reference?
There's no reference. It's just like, oh shit.
You just like the name Oh Shit Media.
Yeah. That's the feeling that you're going to give people. You know, like, oh shit, fucking Tetris. Like right, I love Tetris.
I dig it.
Oh shit, fucking Tetris.
Just make all the subject lines start off with, oh shit, Tetris is coming to Switch. Like that type of thing. I'm down for it.
It sells itself.
It sells itself. There's another sponsored Predator Hunting Ground stream that's happening. It's happening this afternoon at 2 p.m. It's Kevin, it's Snow White, Mike. They're joining the insanity. Of course, I'm going to be there. Greg's going to be there. It's going to be what you've been getting over the past week of our sponsored Predator streams. They've been really fun. Predator Hunting Grounds has been a really enjoyable game. It's especially enjoyable with friends playing together. And so tune in for that. Again, that's today, this afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific time. Remember, we're reacting live to this week's Inside Xbox as they show off games for next gen. That's happening this Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. So stay tuned for that. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Manscaped, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Rope Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
The Baker's Dozen.
You get over there, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm great. What's up?
Oh, you just sound like you were like kind of like I don't know, dying a little bit over there.
Plus, you know? I change it up every day.
It sounded like the Wilhelm scream, but like Baker's Dozen form.
Yeah, I was shaking my head as I said it.
It sounded like,
you're Wilhelm kind of, you know.
That makes sense. Sound. It sounded like you were, like, trying to keep quiet, which I respect because we're doing these shows in houses with people that live in them.
That's true.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
So either way, I respect it, Kevin. I respect your delivery, no matter how you deliver it.
Yeah.
Story number one. Xbox is doing monthly showcases leading up to the Xbox Series X. This comes from a blog post written by Jarrett West, the CVP of gaming marketing at Xbox. In a blog post titled Xbox 2020, join us as we look into the future of Xbox. The blog post reads, well, it's already going to be a once-in-a-generation year for gaming, a new generation of consoles, a wave of new next-generation games, and the launch of new ways to play with game streaming. 2020 has become the year that challenged us all and tested every commitment we have made in the face of COVID-19. Difficult tests tend to reveal your true priorities, and for us, they are the health and safety of our employees, our fans, and our partners. We also wanted to be transparent in letting our players know what we are doing and what we are thinking during such a crucial time. Clearly, this year has challenged us to rethink the way we come together to celebrate the important milestones in gaming, and that means working with the knowledge that we may not be able to come together in the same place. having seen firsthand the resolve of Xbox players, families, and friends coming together, doing the right thing and staying home to help flatten the curve, we've all felt energized to rethink our approach. How can we share that feeling of excitement and anticipation we all get in gaming's biggest moments? How could we capture and distribute that feeling I got when I joined Team Xbox? That moment when I got to see what happens next. So, what's in store for 2020? This is a momentous year for Xbox, with our next-gen console paving the way for all our games and services to come together in even better ways. Here's what 2020 looks like, just to start. Our goal remains to launch Xbox Series X and Halo Infinite this holiday. All 15 Xbox Game Studios teams are hard at work on next-generation games for Xbox Series X and Xbox Game Pass. The best development teams around the world are working hard to have their games ready to play on Xbox Series X this holiday. For PC players, we plan to support the community by making all our major releases at launch available with Xbox Game Pass for PC, including Halo Infinite, Wasteland 3, Minecraft Dungeons, and of course, Microsoft Flight Simulator. We have new updates and titles lined up for Xbox Game Pass for console and PC. We're expanding Project xCloud into new countries and on new devices, and later this year, Project xCloud and Xbox Game Pass will come together, enabling you and your friends to play together in more ways. It's a lot, and that's saying something in 2020, a year which could be summed up as a lot. With all this in mind, we set out to create new touch points to celebrate gaming and share what's next with our global community. They continue to talk about Xbox 2020, which reads as follows. Starting with the May 7 episode of Inside Xbox, which is happening in 2 days, and we'll be reacting to it live. Just remember, tune in, have fun with us. We'll be showcasing what happens next in the world of Xbox every month, which is why we're calling it Xbox 2020, right? It's like 2020 vision. They call it Xbox like 20-20 or 20/20.
Oh. Right?
It's like a pun. You see what they did there, media. Xbox? Oh shit, media. These monthly moments will take place throughout the rest of the year and will be a way for us to engage, connect, and celebrate with you about what's in store for the next generation of gaming, including what's next for Xbox Series X, Xbox Game Studios, Xbox Game Pass, and Project xCloud. Every month we'll bring something different. Stay tuned to Xbox Wire for more details. For the Xbox 2020 May update, we will focus on giving you a first look at next-gen gameplay, trailers, and sneak peeks from a wide variety of publishing partners and independent developers from across the globe and industry, including Ubisoft's recently announced Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and hear from game creators about what they're doing with their games on Xbox Series X. We'll be confirming games that will utilize our new smart delivery feature, which ensures that you always play the best version of the games you own for your console across generations. And all the games you'll see will be Xbox Series X optimized, meaning they are built to take advantage of the powerful Xbox Series X features that make games look and feel incredible, including 4K resolution at up to 120 frames per second, direct storage, hardware accelerated DirectX ray tracing, super fast load times, and much more. In July, we'll dedicate time to focus on the incredible games coming from Xbox Game Studios. A number of our studio teams are looking forward to sharing first looks at new gameplay, insights from development teams being optimized for Xbox Series X, and brand new game announcements. We cannot wait to share this initial look at some of what those teams are working on. Imran, that's a lot that came with that blog post in terms of like information and things that are going on with Xbox and their games. What's your takeaway from all this?
I mean, so it this to me, like they say it is COVID and all that stuff, and yes, I bet that yes, that did change some plans, but this to me says that these are plans they've had for a long time. And this is probably what they intended to do from the beginning, was make Inside Xbox more of a thing and drop those like generational like news tidbits month to month. And this is a smart way to go about it, especially in a time where they're being lauded for their communication and transparency, and people are wondering what's up with Sony. Why are they not saying anything? And Microsoft is going, "Hey, we're giving you a schedule of when we're going to say all the things you want to hear."
Yes, I think this is really like the smartest thing they can do. Like right, especially right now. Like whether or not this was originally a plan or not, I imagine plans got shifted. Right, I imagine that they probably wanted to have like monthly instances of communication with the audience. But whether or not like maybe some of those are planned to be live events or some of those planned to maybe not be inside Xboxes, the idea that they're committing to some sort of communication or some sort of event happening monthly, I think is huge. I think it's super smart. I think it's super, like, the idea that you were kind of stretching out what could be like a huge event. And not saying that we're not going to get like a huge event, because they talk about, you know, this month in a couple of days, we're getting the Inside Xbox that is going to be focused on third party. In July, we're going to get more stuff that's focused on first party. You imagine in June, we're going to get maybe like a centralized, like, this is what the Xbox Series X is. And this is like the big, the blowout party for it. It might be smaller and more contained than what we might have traditionally gotten and what we've gotten in the past. Like, I don't expect it to be like a 2-hour long thing with Phil Spencer, you know, talking about all the different games and all the different features and all the different things, and then like ending it with like the huge, like, all right, here's the price, here's the controller, here's all these different things, right? Like, they've very much been drip feeding until now, and it seems like they're going to continue to drip feed until the launch, with at least like, I guess, a bigger drip happening next month, I imagine.
I mean, so right now we're at two shows that we know about and one we can speculate about, which is, what you said, probably a more launch detail oriented thing in June. Yes. So it seems like they're doing what you're talking about of splitting that show. Presumably they had a June E3 show ready to go with all these things in it, with a third party stuff, with the first party Halo and all that jazz, and the launch details as well. This is them going, okay, what if we just control this conversation over 3 months and not overload anybody, not make them sit through a 3-hour video of all these things, and also let our partners, Ubisoft and the like, just start announcing games, and we can start saying, hey, this is going to be on Xbox Series X. Let's talk about how this is going to be different in the future. And this is a smart way to do it, of starting with a third party and going, okay, this is what you can expect from them early on.
Yeah.
Then we're going to show you what the actual system is, and then we will tell you what we're doing with it. And I think that's a good way to every month get people's eyes on this and make it a household name before it actually ends up releasing.
Yes. In that same note, I have a question from Amplitude, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and says, good morning, Blessing and Imran. Today, Xbox announced that they're going to do monthly Xbox 2020 events for the rest of the year. They've mentioned that May will focus on third-party games, while July will focus on first-party games. My question to you is, where does this leave June? What do you think their June event is going to look like? Is it going to be their big pricing and release date reveal, like E3 would have been, or is it going to be more of the same of what we already know and have seen? Thanks for reading, Amplitude. And so, yeah, we've kind of already just talked about, right? Like, it's likely going to be launch details, right? You're probably going to get the price and all that stuff. What
the
else?
The rumor going around now is, I think Lockhart is going to be revealed in June.
Yes.
Which would be smart, especially if that is the other rumor is Sony is also going to do their big reveal in June. So let's say Sony does come out and say $500. At the same time, Microsoft says, yeah, we have a $500 option, but we also have a $300 option as well. That's a good counter argument to whatever Sony's going to put out.
Yes. And I imagine if Xbox Lockhart is coming out at launch alongside Xbox Series X, you imagine that will have to be something that needs to be announced as soon as possible, so that developers and publishers and companies can talk about this stuff as freely as possible, right? Yeah. Like, you know, right now everybody's talking about Xbox Series X. You're seeing Xbox Series X logos at the end of like every trailer you're watching right now. And I don't know how that's going to like evolve and change after we theoretically get a Lockhart reveal. And I don't know if you get like if it's called Xbox Series S when it actually gets revealed, right? I don't know if you then change it to like that logo that I don't think it leaked, but I think like there was a logo that came out in recent weeks that was like the Xbox Series X. It was like the vertical version of it. I wonder if you then have like those two logos side by side at the end of trailers or what that looks like. But being able to talk about that stuff freely and being able to kind of have that maneuverability in terms of what we're showing, what hardware we're showing it on, all that stuff is going to make the conversation a lot clearer for Xbox and their partners.
Yeah, and like we did talk about just it being 3 months, but also they're doing this every month until November, which is smart. It's like I said, this is a good job of like hammering people with the brand. And while we're talking about this right now, my initial thought was they're never going to do that with two logos. It would be too confusing. But honestly, if you do a good job of explaining it and just like reiterating it over the next 6 months, then it might not be that bad. It might work out fairly well. The big problem with launches is that with brand confusion, it is so easy to be secretive up until the last second and then spring it on people and they don't know what to make of it. Like the Wii U is a very good example of people at launch, or not at launch, people at reveal didn't really know what that thing was, and it wasn't very clear a year later. So by the time it actually came out, no one was really like, people were still very confused about that thing. I think if you do do the thing where you have two different logos and you do have a Lockhart and Xbox Series X, I don't, my initial thought is they're not going to do that. But if they do, I think they'll, it's on them to make it clear. And I think they've given themselves enough time and enough opportunity to actually do so.
Yes. And on the other side of the coin, it could also just be an Xbox logo, right? They could just get rid of the Series X thing and just be, and just have the branding really commit to, hey, this is just Xbox now. Kevin, I just slacked you a link to a YouTube video that is essentially what it Microsoft uploaded, or I guess Xbox uploaded, like a teaser. Are you able to
Yeah, I'll get it.
But Xbox uploaded basically a teaser for their event that's happening in 2 days, right? The Inside Xbox. And it starts off with what seems to be the Xbox startup animation slash like sound.
Yeah.
Which is
Do you
just
care
Xbox.
About hearing it?
Nah, you can just show the visual.
There you go.
Yeah. Can the audience hear it or can nobody hear it?
They can hear it, but it's muted. Okay. There it goes. Let me try it again.
Yeah, go for it. So yeah, this is the Xbox startup.
They've always had really good startup screens.
They have. And, of course, like, this isn't necessarily... It's not necessarily confirmed to be the startup, but if you... I saw somebody say... Somebody in the comments was like, turn on the closed captions. And actually, Kevin, let's actually do this on vid. If you can pull that video back up. If you can turn on the closed captions for YouTube and then replay that video. Because this video is basically, like, bringing it as, like, tune in to our stream in a couple of days. But that the closed captions here say, new Xbox... I can't read it because it's very small.
Sound.
New Xbox sound. Yeah. And so...
I think that's confirmation enough. New Xbox sound.
And so, like, you know, all that... what all this really comes down to is, like, they're going to be able to talk about things a lot clearer once that that theorized June Inside Xbox or June event allows them really... speak out about what they're working on and what the launch is actually going to be like for Xbox.
What if they just skip June? What if they said, like, yeah, we should do third-party stuff. We'll be in July. Like, I know that immediately counters their we're doing a monthly thing in 2020, but, like, if Sony is going to dominate that month, that's a big if.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense to counter-program or just do your own thing and resume from July? Like,
I mean, they've been counter-programming each other, whether purposely or not purposely, over the last, like, few months a lot, right? Because you had that, I forget what happened after the Mark Cerny thing. Like, there was, like, the Mark Cerny event where he talked about the details of the PlayStation. I want to say after that, Xbox revealed something from their side, and then, like...
I mean, they're supposed to be part of that IGN thing, so maybe that's, what they consider their June event.
I can see that, but I also imagine what that'll be is because like Xbox is also part of Keighley's Summer Game Fest too, if I recall correctly. And so I think what that'll be is probably like here's our Inside Xbox in June that is like the blowout, and then like we'll take part in IGN Summer of Gaming and like have interviews with them and have them do coverage with us, and then like also we're gonna attach ourselves to Summer Game Fest for that, and then also attach ourselves to GameSpot's Play for All. Thing. I don't know if I can't remember if Microsoft's logo was part of that thing too, but I imagine at this point like that stuff is really just going to come down to it's going to be more so those brands attaching themselves to the events that are happening as opposed to the other way around.
There's no reason not to just attach your name to all this stuff just to be be on everyone's lips for the next 3 months.
Exactly. I'm curious for what the next few, at least the next few months are going to be. I imagine that after July, what you're going to get are like probably like gameplay updates or like here's gameplay footage from a game that we showed off in May, right? And like I imagine that's going to be like August or September when it comes to what these monthly streams are going to be, or it might be something more substantial. Who knows? But all this sounds cool. Again, like Xbox is being very communicative, which is always appreciated. And yeah, it leaves me wondering what PlayStation's event is going to be and how PlayStation is going to how they're going to approach what their launch lead up is, because like Xbox has been very vocal and it seems like they're going to continue to be very vocal with their launch lead up. PlayStation has been kind of, they've also been vocal, but in like very like unique instances. Like they came out in those Wired articles. You had Mark Cerny's thing. You had the PlayStation controller revealed in a blog, right? Like it's been a very controlled, like, hey, we're drip feeding, but on our own terms.
Yeah. Kind of thing.
I wonder if that continues after what is a PlayStation launch event in like end of May, early June, I imagine.
Even if not for the coronavirus and all that stuff, I think this would be a very non-traditional way of launching consoles. And I think both Sony and Microsoft were already prepping for it to be different in a like very transitional sort of way. Like less of a hard stop and more of a kind of easing in. So I think that, like, obviously it did change some plans, but I think Sony would have probably been as quiet if like, I'm sure they would have had a thing by now. But I would bet they will have something probably. June is the latest I could see them. No, July is the latest I could possibly see them having it. But like, we also think about from the moment there was a Switch video that didn't do anything, like didn't really show much beyond what the Switch is. It showed some games essentially, but like no real concrete announcements, no launch details, anything like that, until like the thing released. That was less time than between now and a hypothetical November PS5 release. So they still have some time. It's just that we're all home and we're not doing anything. We really want to know these things and they're not telling us yet. So we got to wait for them to actually tell us. And
yeah,
people are going crazy about it.
We shall see what happens, Imran. Mm-hmm. Story number two, and this is a crazy one, or not a crazy one, but this is an interesting one. Story number two, we now know what's up with Doom Eternal's soundtrack controversy. I'm pulling this info from Matt Kim at IGN. If you've been following along, of course, this has been an interesting one because it's been hard to like include in the Roper Report because it's been happening in such weird ways. Because it started off as like a tweet that somebody made of like, hey, like the Doom 2016 soundtrack versus the Doom Eternal soundtrack seem like they seem to have different levels of quality in terms of the mix and all this stuff, right? And then like it was a DM from Mick Gordon, a seemed DM from Mick Gordon, talking about how he's not going to work in the future with id on soundtracks. It's been coming up quite a bit on the show, but I think this article does a good job of condensing it all and then adding in new information that we got yesterday. And so I'm reading from Matt Kim at IGN here. Id Software and Doom Eternal executive producer Marty Stratton has issued a public statement about his current relationship with Doom Eternal composer Mick Gordon after weeks of speculation that there was some kind of trouble between the two parties over the recently released Doom Eternal soundtrack. The controversy began in April when a viral Twitter thread highlighted the sound mixing for the newly released Doom Eternal soundtrack. Twitter user at that ACDC guy posted a side-by-side visual comparison of the BFG Division track from Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal and noted that the mixing for the Doom Eternal version was less dynamic. Gordon responded in a tweet that he didn't mix those and if he did, he would have done it differently. A supposed social media DM from Gordon also seemed to indicate that he would no longer be working with id Software going forward. In a lengthy post on the Doom Eternal subreddit, Stratton attempted to clear the air as to why the soundtrack for the new shorter version was not fully mixed by a composer, Mick Gordon, whose award-winning work on Doom 2016 has defined the rebooted Doom series. The reason for this was because of some complications on the production side of things, and according to Stratton, a shifting deadline. After agreeing with Gordon on the contract for a soundtrack by early March, Gordon reached out to id requesting an extension. Quote, on February 24th, Mick reached out to communicate that he and his team were fine with the terms of the agreement, but that there was a lot more work involved than anticipated. A lot of content to wade through. He apologized and asked that ideally he'd be given an additional 4 weeks to get everything together. He offered that the extra time would allow him to provide upwards of 30 tracks in a runtime of over 2 hours. End quote. Stratton says that id agreed to the extension with the new deadline set for mid-April. However, once April arrived, Stratton says, quote, we grew increasingly concerned about Mick delivering the OST to us on time. I personally asked our lead audio designer at id, Chad Molsholder, to begin work on id versions of the tracks as a backup plan, end quote. Molsholder would mix music Gordon previously submitted for use in-game into soundtrack form, which requires a different kind of sound mixing. Stratton says that as the deadline approached, Gordon was the one who suggested he and Mosholder combine the work they both completed into a full soundtrack, leading to the final version of the Doom Eternal OST that includes tracks mixed by Gordon and tracks edited by Mosholder using Gordon's original music he previously submitted for use in-game. Quote, "As for the immediate future, we are at the point of moving on and won't be working with Mick on the Doom Eternal DLC we currently have in production," says Stratton. "I'm as disappointed as anyone that we're at this point, but as we have many times before, we will adapt to changing circumstances and pursue the most unique and talented artists in the industry with whom to collaborate," end quote. Imran, have you been following this whole ordeal as it's been going on?
The initial thing I saw was just a recent error thread saying Mick Gordon is not happy with the mixing on the Doom Eternal soundtrack, which is like, okay, yeah, I can kind of understand that a composer would be unhappy with the way a corporation, you know, does his music. Yeah. But then I started looking into it, and then I saw, like, when this statement came out yesterday and I started reading through it, I was like, oh shit, this is actually a bit deeper than I initially assumed. Because mm-hmm. it does... I mean, this is kind of like, it comes down to like a he said, he said kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the case Stratton lays out, and he lays it out fairly well, of Mick Gordon not really following through on the things he said he was going to do, which I can understand some of that. Some creative work like mixing does take a lot of effort, a lot of time, and sometimes just doesn't work out the way you want it to. Mm-hmm. So I could see him definitely going like, yeah, I promised this number of things, but I can't deliver. What can we do about that? But from going from there to kind of disowning all responsibility and saying like, hey, I wouldn't have done this. And then I think the most damning thing Stratton says is that they were asking Mick to please step in because the lead sound designer, Mosholder, was getting death threats. And Gordon just wasn't acknowledging that. That, I think, is a thing that even if all the other stuff, even if he was kind of a prima donna to work with and like extremely difficult to like get things done on time, that I think is forgivable for id. But the fact mm-hmm. that he just kind of like blithely stood by and almost a little encouraged by his statements, I don't want to say it's direct, but like,
yeah,
by indirectly encouraged this sort of thing, I think that's it going, okay, no, we can't work with him anymore. And
yeah,
the implication of we're not working with the DLC and we're looking for composers for the future implies that Mick Gordon is probably not on whatever the next Doom sequel is going to be.
No. And it's unfortunate because like the Doom soundtracks are so good, like some of the best soundtracks of the generation, like I'd easily say. And, you know, Mick Gordon is in large responsible for like, you know, putting that together. Right. Yeah. Like he's the genius behind those soundtracks. And I for this relationship to kind of come down to like a like we just couldn't get along, like we just couldn't, like whether it's production schedules or whether it's like, hey, like, you know, Mick wasn't delivering on deadline and like whatever that stuff kind of comes down to, like overall it kind of just it sucks that they couldn't figure it out. It happens. Like this kind of thing isn't like a unique case. Like this thing happens all the time.
Yeah.
As far as like working relationships just not working out, but yeah, it seems like the next Doom game and the Doom DLC, as said in this article, right, like isn't going to be composed by Mick Gordon, and that's a bummer. That truly is a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, like honestly, part of the identity of that series is Mick Gordon's music. So yeah. I've seen people toss some other names around, and people who worked on like other Doom projects that, like, I bet would be very good, and they would just be different though.
Yeah,
and I think that's a problem.
I want to pull in a question here from Boards and 00, who writes in and says, "Good morning, Blessing and Ron. The Doom OST drama might have actually concluded yesterday when Marty Stratton made a Reddit post doing his best to explain the situation. In it, he goes into great detail about the dealings with Mick Gordon, and it doesn't paint a pretty picture, and both parties have decided to not have him create the soundtrack for the story DLC coming. However, it is also mentioned that there was a plea to stop sending death threats to the studio's audio engineer, Chad Mosholder. Now, while it seems the relationship is strained, to say the least, is it actually trying to heal the relationship for future games, or was this just a blanket PR statement and they're never going to use Mick ever again? I also wonder if there's anybody who can take over the reins and create a sound that does not sound like a cheap imitation. Thanks for everything you guys do and have been continuing to do, Borzen00. Yeah, I'm with Imran here where I don't think they're gonna continue working with him. Like it seems like a line was kind of crossed. And I don't like unless like people come together and have a meeting and they have a talk and they're like, hey, like let's put water under the bridge. I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But as far as like somebody else coming through and doing future Doom soundtracks, like I think a solution could be like, and I don't know too much about like OG Doom, like Doom from back in the day. I don't know who the names that worked on the soundtrack for those games and whether or not they're still like active, but maybe that could be a solution. You know, you don't come under as much scrutiny.
There's been new Doom content over the years and there's been new soundtracks for those games. So like you could bring somebody in who's made soundtracks for what is essentially OG Doom, but like new content for those like new levels and stuff like that. That makes sense to bring those people in. If they try to sound like Mick Gordon and it don't, I don't think that'll work. But if they do their own thing, if they just say like, hey, this is the new style. I think whatever they do with Doom 3 or whatever they end up calling it is going to be a different kind of thing because I've been kind of baffled by the reaction to that game a little bit because like we really loved it.
Yeah.
And then by and large, it seems like most people are like, oh, yeah, it was fine. It wasn't what I wanted from a Doom sequel. So I think they're probably going to go back to the drawing board on that game. But that seems like a good chance to actually like reset what that game's identity is and probably reset it alongside the soundtrack.
Yeah, honestly, like I could see like not necessarily like a reboot, but yeah, a reimagining of what this new like this rebooted Doom series is. Because when we talk about Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal, right? Like my big thing with Doom Eternal is that, you know, I loved how they took elements of Doom 2016 and kind of pushed them to the extreme. But at certain points, like Doom 2016 was great because of how contained it was, right? Like Doom 2016 didn't have the platforming, it didn't have these levels that felt like super huge, right? Like Doom 2016 felt just way more contained. So for Doom Eternal to come out and kind of take what worked with Doom 2016 and try to have his own ideas with it, I think that then leads to what you're talking about as far as like people not necessarily having the best people not having the same reaction to it that they had with Doom 2016. I think for a new Doom, I think you do go back to the drawing board a bit and try to either like, I guess you could do two things, right? You can either try and capture the magic of Doom 2016, or you can just go in a dynamically different direction and be like, all right, like let's not try to have people compare this game or people come into this game with their biases of Doom 2016. Let's try and create something that's brand new, that still fits within the modern Doom universe, but something that feels dynamically new. And with that, I think you then are able to have a dynamically new sound with the soundtrack and with the composer with it.
Yeah. I think good...
I'm interested.
A smart play for them was to have Marty Stratton go to the subreddit. And like, I've met Marty a couple of times. He's a very genuine guy and he comes across very genuine in this Reddit post. And that I think if this were a simple thing of we're just not going to work with Marty Silver, or sorry, we're not going to work with Mick Gordon ever again.
Yeah.
Like then I don't think it would like come off as nearly as well. People goes like, oh, well, Mick Gordon is telling it like it is and Bethesda doesn't like it. This lays out a very complex but genuine case for, yeah, we wanted to, but it didn't work out, and that's why we're just not going forward. It was smart of them to do it this way.
Story number three, Imran. THQ Nordic and Koch Media are trading IPs like Pokemon cards. I'm pulling this from Brendan Sinclair at gamesindustry.biz, and I'm going to say before I even read it, this is my favorite news story of the day. I'm very excited about all of this, about what's happening here. The news story reads, two of the Embracer Group's gaming subsidiaries have swapped an assortment of properties. THQ Nordic today announced that it has transferred rights to Red Faction and Painkiller. Let me read that again. Red Faction and Painkiller to Koch Media, receiving Risen, Sacred, Rush for Berlin, Second Sight, and Singles Flirt Up Your Life in return. I've not heard of that game. That sounds interesting. The move paves the way for a pair of possible reunions between franchises and their original developers. First, it puts Red Faction, you know, it puts the Red Faction franchise a step closer to the original developer, Volition, which is the big takeaway from this new story, everybody, which is owned by Koch Media's Deep Silver Publishing Division. Second, it places Risen under the same roof as its original developer, Piranha Bytes, which was acquired by THQ Nordic a year ago. Quote, Evaluations on remasters, ports, potential sequels, and new content, etc. will start right away, THQ Nordic said in its announcement of the trade. We have something in mind already. And Ron, I'm very happy right now because I love Red Faction. Red Faction is like, we talked about this actually on PS Love You during our, we had an episode called The Underrated, where we talked about the underrated games on PlayStation. And I think my first pick was Red Faction for the PS2, the original Red Faction. Mm. You know, Red Faction as a franchise, I've always enjoyed Red Faction Guerrilla, also on that was on PS3, but then got remastered on PS4. Also an excellent game. The idea that now Volition has in theory been reunited, like there's not really been word that like Deep Silver is pairing it with Volition, we don't know that yet, but you assume that like they must have that on the docket in some sort of way. You imagine right now Volition is working on Saints Row 5.
Yeah, they've announced a new Saints Row, so they're actively working on that, I'd assume.
Yeah, and you imagine that's imminent. Like that game has to come out in like the next, I'm gonna say like by 2021, I imagine that game is gonna be out. I think that then leads to the next game, likely, possibly, fingers crossed, being Red Faction. That's all I'm
I would
say.
Assume so. Let's yeah. About it. I've been distracted because I was looking up singles for Pure Life. Just curious what that was. It's The Sims, but with banging. With, I guess.
Really, singles flirt up your life.
Yeah.
Kevin, can we possibly get a trailer, if that's possible, for Singles Flirt Up Your Life? Because I'm curious on what that IP is.
It was good enough to have a Singles Flirt Up Your Life. Singles 2, Triple Trouble. That entered a third roommate.
That strikes me as, like, it's probably a, what's that adventure game with, like, the very horny dude? You know what I'm talking about? Leisure Suit Larry. It strikes me as, like, something that's probably similar to Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah.
Which got a game recently.
It did. It wasn't great, but...
I demoed that game at PAX and had a great time demoing it. I don't think I'd ever play the actual final game.
It's the kind of game where like the writing is Larry's very out of touch because it's a modern world, but it does that thing that I think is just the laziest writing in the world, where you have a technology company and you give them like a fake name to like a derisive fake name. So instead of like Facebook, it's Farcebook. And like, no, that's bad. That's bad writing. Don't do that. But this THQ Nordic thing, this is they're both owned by the same company. So like trading IPs is weird. I don't understand exactly like what they think they're.
I think it's
just a cute way of showing that they like, hey, we're probably working on these games very soon.
I don't know that I can find a trailer for this.
You can't find a trailer. Okay, I thought you were going to say you can't show it because it's just straight up just.
Yeah. That's well, I mean, it, hot, like, I'm not seeing trailers. I'm just seeing like clips, and there's a lot going on here.
Really? All right, I might check that out after the show. Then.
It looks a lot like Sims.
Yeah,
but with
Wikipedia says it was criticized for being a ripoff of The Sims and the way it offered little challenge.
But there's like
does
nudity.
The Sims offer challenge?
I guess.
Yeah.
More than this, but yeah.
This is interesting for what you're saying also, is that like, yeah, they're both subsidiaries of the same company. You imagine that like if they wanted to work on each other's IPs, it's probably like an easy thing to do. But this announcement probably makes it clear of like, oh, like it's a pop, right? Like it's a moment that they can have on social media and be like, hey, like, by the way, remember that Red Faction is a thing, and also we have Volition and Deep Silver here that can work on Red Faction. Like, I'm sure that's also a very much a part of this announcement.
Yeah. I mean, their PR has done worse things, so might as well do like a cute little Game Boy thing to announce that a Red Faction game might come out in the future from Volition. If they do, I hope it's more like Guerrilla than, what was the last one? Armageddon?
Yeah, Armageddon. Yeah, people didn't like Armageddon.
It was a very bog standard third-person shooter. Like, the shooting through walls thing was neat, but the rest of it not important.
We probably wouldn't get this, but I personally would want them to go back to it being a first person shooter, like, because like the first Red Faction had like Half-Life vibes of like, hey, yeah, this is a narrative first person shooter where you're going through, like, you're on Mars obviously because it's Red Faction, and like you are basically going on an adventure and having all these different story moments, and at a certain point aliens show up and all this stuff. I would like them to kind of go back to that, because like I don't know if people are necessarily like asking for it. People aside from me aren't necessarily like asking for that type of experience, but I feel like don't know, I feel like it could be an interesting reveal, right? Like a Volition first person shooter. And I think it differentiates itself from Saints Row enough to where it gets people interested if it goes that route, as opposed to like the third person game route.
Honestly, Volition kind of needs to prove themselves again anyway, because like Agents of Mayhem was not great.
Yeah. But, Kevin, Agents of Mayhem was weird, man. I tried playing that game like last year, because I think I must have bought it on sale, because I don't think it was on PS Plus. I bought that game, started playing it, and I was like, there's some ideas here. I have no idea why this game isn't co-op, because it very much seems like a game that should be multiplayer. Yeah, like the whole point of the game, the whole point of the game is that you're controlling a team of different like superhero kind of characters, and you can switch between them. Why wouldn't that be a co-op experience? Especially when like Saints Row, I don't know about Saints Row 4. Saints Row 3, I'm pretty sure had a co-op mode or a multiplayer mode.
Yeah,
like it's not foreign to them, and so who knows? I have some quick hits here. I have three more stories, but all of them are pretty short, and so we're gonna blast through them. Story number four here: Cyberpunk 2077 is having a new news broadcast coming in June. I'm pulling this from Joe Scrabbles at IGN, who writes: Cyberpunk 2077 looks to be getting an E3 style news broadcast on June 11th, titled Night City Wire, announced on Twitter with a simple caption: "Get ready," and a logo we don't know the contents, of the broadcast at the time of writing. Emron, did you see this morning?
Yeah. That, I mean, they had a demo at E3 every year, so I imagine they had a demo prepared for E3 this year. So they probably have somewhere to put it. This makes total sense. This is part of Keighley's thing, right? Like, they're the Summer Fest, Game
Fest.
You
imagine so. Like, CD Projekt Red, their logo is on the Keighley, like, his graphic that he tweeted out at said Phase 1. But they've not said, I don't think they've said anything about Summer Game Fest in Cyberpunk's tweet. But
did you
imagine,
talk about-
yes.
That Summer Game Fest logo when it was announced. Cause like, what is up with that thing?
The actual logo?
Like the thing that's like, it's like, oh God, I can't remember what the actual text, but like it has like this elongated R down the thing.
Oh, yes.
You
saw what you're talking about.
Yes. Why did they design it that way?
Graphic design, man. It's somebody's passion. You know, somebody had a passion and they really like chased after it. I don't know. I thought it looked fine until I started seeing memes. It might have been you that memed it, actually.
And the Simpsons like, thing, yeah.
Yeah, and then the Simpsons thing. Yeah, I saw that and I was like, he's making points. I can see why this text is weird. But yeah, you know, I'm curious for what Night City Wire is gonna be. I'm looking forward to it. It's one of those things where the game was originally supposed to come out in spring. And so like any sort of like big marketing push now, I'm like, cool, yeah, you guys are filling time, reminding people that this game exists. And my thing is, for Cyberpunk 2077, I almost don't want more information. Like, I would like to go into that game as blind as possible, because, like, that's the type of game that I think, like, you can really pull people in through the mystery of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, having people be curious on, like, what is this game actually similar to, like, and these might not be the best examples, but, like, Death Stranding or Fallout 4, like both those games, I think leading up to release, there was very much like an air of mystery of like, what am I doing in this game? Like, what does Fallout 4 look like? Like, their Fallout 4 especially, like their marketing was very much like they had their E3 reveal and then nothing else and then release. I kind of want that from Cyberpunk a bit, you know, because I like the idea that you don't have to show all your cards.
Mm-hmm. I assume based on the date that this is going to be a lot of showing what the smart delivery version of these games looks like.
Yeah,
so like, here's what it looks like on current consoles, here's what will look like in November.
Yeah,
and I think
up-res, 120 yeah. frames per second,
I
faster
mean,
loading screens, here's all these things.
What was the rumor that like the game was delayed because it was just not working on old consoles? So if they do show, hey, this may look kind of clunky here, but look at what it looks like, will look like just a couple of months after, might be a good, not necessarily a good marketing strategy, but a good way of mitigation if it does end up looking not great on Xbox One and PS4.
Number five, another quick hit for you. There's a new Last of Us 2 trailer that's coming tomorrow. This morning, Naughty Dog tweeted a small teaser with like voices, Ellie and Joel saying things. I won't say what they said if you don't want to hear it, but that's coming tomorrow, 7 a.m. So be excited for that.
Not going to watch then, it. I'm doing the thing you were doing about Fallout of just like, I already know I'm going to play this game. Like, why at this point?
Yeah, and I'm probably going to watch it.
Well, you have a PlayStation show. You have to.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. It's like, I want to be informed. And then also, like, I've already had it spoiled for me. Like, what more can be ruined at this point?
I feel like I'm tempting fate by saying this and also having your wrong open, but
oh, dude.
I have not been spoiled yet.
Oh, hopefully. You should not have said that, because they will come for you, especially when you're wrong.
Yeah.
And then number six, our last one, Mortal Kombat is getting DLC revealed tomorrow. I opened up Twitter this morning, and Imran, I saw a trailer or a teaser from NetherRealm for. I don't want to get into the specifics because it very much is spoilery for the Mortal Kombat 11 story, but they basically showed the end of that game story and then showed a twist happening with it.
Yeah.
And I've never been so excited for like a Mortal Kombat thing in my life.
This looks great.
It's great. Yeah. Did you play the Mortal Kombat 11 story? And do you have any excitement for this?
I'm excited for this because this is kind of what I wanted from them, was not necessarily more characters. Like, I don't really give a shit about Spawn, but I want more story stuff.
Yes, I'm with you. Like, I'm with you in the sense that, like, Mortal Kombat historically has been a game that I would play for months on end and keep up with and, like, get the DLC characters and all this stuff. This time around, that didn't necessarily happen with me. Like, I played the story, played online for a good few weeks, and then kind of fell off of it. You know, I didn't really have any interest in checking out the DLC characters, even though they were cool characters, right? Like Shang Tsung and like you said, Spawn, right? Like, a lot of cool characters were included with that DLC. I kind of wanted Shaggy from Scooby-Doo to be included, but they didn't. The cowards. But yeah, new story DLC is a thing that would for sure get me to pick the game back up and actually have some time with it. And so, yeah. And for like DLC to be this cool, like...
I would like to see them integrate the DLC characters into the story. I don't know if that's, like, possible. Like, if that's a legal thing they made. Like, but wouldn't it be cool if, like,
dude,
like, Liu Kang is at the end of the game and suddenly Spawn shows up?
Did you play the Tekken 7 story mode?
Yes.
Tekken 7, yeah. Akuma from Street Fighter is, like, a main character.
Yeah, I know. I want that kind of integration, but, like, do it post-launch. Like, what if... Smash technically has the DLC characters in the World of Light, but like, I would take them redoing that CG thing or inserting some like scenes in the middle of like Joker trying to dodge the beams of light or whatever. I think it's cool when fighting games do that.
Yeah,
like I just said, I don't give a shit about Spawn, but I would like to see Spawn in the story mode.
The thing that's weird about Mortal Kombat, and this is gonna sound like this is gonna be a ridiculous statement, but the Mortal Kombat story is like so like. It's focused in terms of like it's not as nonsensical in the sense that I feel like including DLC characters like Spawn and all the horror characters that they like to include in the like horror, let me pronounce that because it sounded like I said horror, but like the horror characters that they like to include as DLC in the games, I feel like including that in the story, it then kind of like brings the curtain back in a way where it's like, all right, what can we really take seriously here if like Spawn's here standing next to Scorpion? Whereas like Tekken is already goofy. Like Tekken, I'm like, none of this matters. Like, we're just here to have a fun time. Mortal Kombat story is in a sense somewhat they take it seriously.
There was a dude
in
named
a way.
Mocap who has like mocap balls on his
head. But we're in a new universe now. You know, all that stuff got retconned.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It got snapped
like,
out of the universe.
They reset the universe every couple of games. So like, why not go crazy and then just go like, okay, reset button. We can do whatever we want now.
What do you think they do for the next Mortal Kombat game? Because when I first watched this trailer, I thought it was going... In my head, I was like, is this Mortal Kombat 12? Because usually NetherRealm is on a two-year cycle with their games, right? They release every 2 years.
Yeah.
Injustice and Mortal Kombat. Like 2015, we got Mortal Kombat X. 2017, we got Injustice. Last year, we got Mortal Kombat, which would mean next year, we're probably getting a new game from NetherRealm. In my mind, I was like, could they be skipping Injustice and just going straight to Mortal Kombat 12? And that's not the case because, like, on the PlayStation channel, their YouTube channel, when they released the trailer, they said Mortal Kombat 11. And so, like, this looks like it is going to be DLC pretty much for sure. But where do they go with Mortal Kombat 12, given where Mortal Kombat 11 kind of finished off with, without spoiling it?
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but, like, suffice to say that Mortal Kombat 12 can kind of go anywhere now. Like, they can completely reset that universe again and start it over in a different way without just being like about Shang Tsung and Shao Kahn or whatever. Or maybe that's the way they want it. Like, they want to make it a thing that constantly just go. That's the battle is Shang Tsung will always do these things. Shao Kahn will always try to invade the Earth realm. But I'm very interested to see where they go next, because Mortal Kombat 11 felt like they wanted to go, okay, we're ending this cycle and we're going to start new next time. Mm-hmm. It just, we're going to have to wait, I think, 3 years to probably find out exactly where that is.
God, I'm so excited. I fucking love the Mortal Kombat story. As stupid and nonsensical and weird as it is, like even like the PS2 games, like Mortal Kombat Deception, that story, that was like the thing that introduced me to Mortal Kombat's like lore. And like from then, I feel like they found ways to make it both nonsensical, but then also like they found ways to make you care about the characters.
Yeah.
And ways to kind of engage you to where I'm like, man, I'm really curious to see like where they go, especially if they go like the reboot route again, because at that point, like what is the story of Mortal Kombat about if not like destiny and time travel at that point?
I thought the entire story of Mortal Kombat 11 was dumb, and I thought the plot twist was dumb, and I loved every minute of it.
Yes, exactly. Imran, I'm very excited to see what the future of Mortal Kombat is, but that future is probably so far away. If I want to know what's coming out today on Mom and Grop Shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do, yeah.
Yeah.
Such a weird transition, right? The Mom and Grop Shops thing. If I want to know what's coming out today on Mom and Grop Shops, where I guess it's not as weird. out today, there's a surprise launch happening, or that has already happened, I think. The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners is out for PSVR. And so I'm very excited for that. I'm probably going to check that one out because I love Walking Dead and I love PSVR. John Wick Hex is out today for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Wintermore Tactics Club is out for PC. Someday You'll Return is out for PC. Pushy and Pulley in Blockland is out for Xbox One, PC, and Mac. Tonight We Riot is out for Switch. Night Jackal is out for PC. Shop Titans is out for PC. Escape the Brothers Saloon is out for PC. Battle Baseball is out for PC. Express Through is out for PC. Old World is out for PC. And then Rogue Elements is live in Dauntless. This update includes a new hunt pass, as well as contracts that expand the story leading up to our big game, or to their big in-game event coming in June. They're also introducing 4 new trials challenges starting May 7th. Some new dates for you. Electro Beat-em-up Megabyte Punch will be released on Nintendo Switch in America, Europe, and Japan on May 8th. Crucible, Amazon's free-to-play PC competitive team-based shooter developed by Relentless Studios, will launch on May 20th, 2020. Easy Day Studios announced today that Skater XL, a game that delivers unparalleled access to skateboarding culture, will be launching on July 7th for digital release on PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC, and to brick-and-mortar retailers on PS4 and Xbox One. And then lastly, Pixel Ripped 1995 will launch on May 12th on PSVR in the Americas and on May 19th on PSVR in Europe. Let's see here. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Manscaped. Flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to mow your lawn. Thanks to our sponsor, Manscaped, you can trim the hedges below the belt safely and efficiently. I am talking about the ball trimmers. Manscaped is here to make sure your balls are smooth and smelling nice. After all, it's time for some spring cleaning. As you all know, I like to use Manscaped, and my favorite part of the Manscaped 3.0, which I own, is the light that comes with it. You turn it on, and there's like a flashlight, so you can see everything that's going on very clearly, and it keeps you very safe and very, very visually aware of what's going on.
Do you ever shave in the dark?
I mean, Kevin, I'm going to be honest, man. You ever have those days where you're like, I don't want to look at myself, you know?
Mm.
Sometimes I have to have the light off for that.
Oh, no, every day.
Every day. I just have to have the light off, especially when I'm shaving myself. Does that answer your question, Kevin?
You nailed it.
Thank you. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below the belt grooming. They have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. Precision engineered tools for your family jewels. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the Essential Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof, cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll also find the Manscaped Crop Preserver and an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside, and this is crucial, so your ball stops sticking to your leg. And as our treat, you'll find the Crop Reviver, which will keep your ball smelling fresh, just like spring flowers. Subscribe to the perfect package and get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer always stays hygienic and clean. For a limited time, subscribers get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag, that's a $39 value add, and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. This is the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GAMES20 at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. That's 20% off and free shipping with code GAMES20 at manscaped.com. Again, 20% off with free shipping, manscaped.com, code GAMES20. It's spring cleaning, baby, and your balls will thank you. Imran, I'm looking here to see which question I want to ask you. Let's talk about Yakuza. Frankfurter writes in a Patreon account, just kind of funny games, just like you can, and says, good morning, Blessing Imran. Yakuza 7 is seemingly getting a port to Steam. While it seems like a no-brainer due to porting over about half the series last year, it's another PlayStation exclusive series that is being moved to PC. With Yakuza being another exclusive in the line of PlayStation ports coming, do you think Sony will create a PlayStation app similar to Xbox's beta app on PC? On top of that, will they make the VR hardware they're working on, as reported yesterday, compatible with both PS5 and PC so you can enjoy their VR games wherever you want? Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter.
That doesn't sound like Sony. Like, who knows?
No.
But, like, that seems like a thing. Like, even the Horizon announcement was, don't worry, we're not going full PC. We're just, like, kind of dipping our toes in. I think from a top executive level, they don't like the idea of PC being on the same level. And also from a fan base level, the fan base doesn't necessarily like that either. I think the Yakuza thing is, like, I imagine that Steam listing came early, and I bet that thing is also coming to Xbox day and date. But
yeah,
like, I bet that's probably like one of the announcements this week. But
oh yeah, that'd be smart.
Yeah, I don't think it's just that it's like it's a PC PlayStation thing. I think it's that it's like they're trying to widen out to other systems to begin with. So
yeah,
I don't think it's any interoperability between Sony and PC.
Yeah, as far as like Yakuza, like a lot of those games just came to Xbox recently, I want to say. Like, I believe you can get Yakuza on Xbox Game Pass.
Zero and Kiwami are both on Game Pass, I believe, yes.
Yeah, and so I feel like when it comes to PlayStation and Yakuza, it's less of an ownership thing or like an agreement thing between PlayStation and Yakuza. I think it's more so like Yakuza has been coming exclusively to PlayStation because that's where it makes sense for it to come. Like, historically,
there's a longer history. Like, the Negoshi took that game to Nintendo and Microsoft before, and neither of them wanted it. So he's very loyal to Sony for that reason.
Yeah. But,
like, since then, it's basically been it's a Japanese series, and Sony did really well in Japan. But now it's an international series, and there's other options. So they're going with those other options.
Yeah, and that's basically my read with it, right? Is that it's probably coming to other platforms because it makes more sense for it to come to other platforms nowadays. As far as like, yeah, will PlayStation put VR on PC so that you can eventually play PSVR games on PC? I don't imagine. Like, no.
I bet you can do that. I just bet it's not going to be an official thing.
And I think it's counterintuitive, like what you said, right? It's counterintuitive to what Sony and PlayStation to how they go about things, right? Like, the idea of PSVR is so that, like, you can play PlayStation. Like, PlayStation games as a concept, like PlayStation exclusives, they exist wholly to sell the hardware, right? Like, of course the software is going to sell too, right? PlayStation games do well, but a big part of why Sony first party games exist is to sell the hardware. I imagine that then feeds into PlayStation hardware as well, where like, yeah, like PSVR strengthens the PlayStation ecosystem. It strengthens the hardware of the PS4, and you imagine the PS5. I don't think you then want to give up that ground to PC, especially when like, There are VR units that are on PC. Like, I'm sure if PlayStation really wanted to put a VR game on PC, you could probably make that work with Oculus or with another headset.
Yeah. And I think that like whatever PSVR 2 is, I bet people make it compatible with the PC eventually. I don't think it'll be an official capacity sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now it's time to squad up. Gondor's Condor writes in with a squad up for Destiny on PS4 and says, "Calling all Guardians. I am making like a procrastinating student and cramming the remaining 93 levels on the Destiny Season Pass into the next month. Dear God, do I need help? If anybody wants to join my quest, help me mercilessly slaughter the Traveler's attackers, and maybe even help me complete my first raid, hit me up at Irish_Manhattan on PSN. PS, Warlocks for life." Again, that's Irish_Manhattan on PSN. If you want to play Destiny on PS4 with Gondor's Condor.
Hey, Blessing.
What up?
The Traveler's bad?
Listen, Kevin. I've only played 80 hours of Destiny. You gotta ask somebody who's played 1,000 hours to really tell you. Isn't the Traveler like God in Destiny?
I thought it was the big white ball.
Yeah, I assumed it was the big orb.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about Destiny to even...
But it's the first time I'm hearing that he's bad.
Maybe sure. He turned bad.
Ugh. I bet there's a lot of good story of Destiny that I'm never gonna be exposed to, and that's fine. But like, I've heard it's gotten good, like, and interesting over time.
When I was playing Destiny 2, it was very much like a I'm here for the ride kind of thing, where like I was following the story, but I wasn't like following the story. You know, I was like, I'm playing that game just so I could like play with my friends and do raids and stuff.
But meanwhile, yeah. I'm deep into the story of Streets of Rage 4.
So. Exactly. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you can write in, let us know what we get wrong as we get it wrong. Nanobot says, "Season 2 Blessing? You mean Earth 2. Or you mean Book 2 Earth." Talking about Avatar The Last Airbender. They're seasons. I'm going to call them seasons.
I always like the book like moniker. I mean,
it's a cool thing, for sure.
It's a cool thing, but also I'm never going to refer to it as Book 2 or Book 3. It's seasons. You're right.
A few people are writing in here telling us that they are not, Microsoft is not skipping June. In fact, they've said that they're working on something huge.
Yeah, I would assume that like whatever they had planned for June originally, and I assume the marketing plan still calls for a big June thing. It would just be interesting if they did decide to skip it.
And then Nanobiologist writes in with breaking new date. Halo 2 Anniversary arrives on PC as part of the Master Chief Collection on May 12th. So look forward to that.
Yeah.
For this week, tomorrow's hosts go like this. It's Greg and Gary Witta. Happy Witta Wednesday, everybody. They're back, the dynamic duo. Remember, we're reacting live to this week's Inside Xbox as they show off games for next gen. That's happening this Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific time right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Gamescast is recording this afternoon. The topic is game launches that had us hyped. So stay tuned for that. That's recording on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames live, and we'll be up later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.